Brother, how you doing today?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Doing well, man. Doing well. This is episode 43. We're flying right along here.
Absolutely.
Good stuff. We both went with the no hats this week, I see. That's good.
Yeah.
I got a haircut.
Oh, I had to go to a confirmation.
Yeah. Oh, you were looking both ways. I thought you were like kidnapped or something. You couldn't say certain words.
Where's the dummy cards?
Right? No, that's funny.
Yeah, and you know, they frown upon wearing hats in the
yeah. church. So normally over the weekend I try to look presentable because during the week I'm coming home from the job site looking like a mess. So I try to look a little nice.
That's right. It's like Rocky said, it was a special occasion. I combed my hair.
Exactly. So earlier you sent me some photos of the long discussed project of the pond.
Yes.
You know, fish pond out there out back. And I had, you know, you sent me some, but I didn't tell you yet. I didn't show you yet, but we got some shots of you. Of you actually building it, so we got some shots here. Here you are lifting the rock,
okay,
throwing that right. You just like you know you're throwing the rock into there, and there's your you know you have your big pile of rocks.
My pile of
rocks. That was you got your workout cut out for you. That was pretty amazing.
Yeah,
and then of course it snowed, which kind of put a damper on things.
It did.
You know that's no good. But the long and short of it is. You're finished now, or what's the status?
The pond is finished. Minus I got to put some fish in there, and I got to wait for our weather to break so I can get my cuff and link in there. I want to get a couple of turtles to put in there.
Yeah, you're saying that. That's really cool.
So there,
and then go ahead.
It's done. Basically, there was a concept you'll see with a block retaining wall. We're going to continue that. We're going to continue that throughout the backyard, you know, little at a time. You know, there's a lot to be done. So, you know.
Well, I was kind of just buying some time because I accidentally did not upload that picture. But just the other picture I have your little pond there. Look at that. Look at that. It went from rocky. It went from, you know, the rocky exercise to now it's like Mr. Miyagi's dojo back there.
That's what my neighbor calls it. That's what my neighbor calls it. Miyagi's backyard.
Mr. Miyagi doesn't.
It's my sanctuary to get away, to go back there and relax and just forget about the world, you know. And,
yeah, no, absolutely.
You know, it's just I love doing it. So you know, what the hell? Why not make it your own while you can?
That's great. You know? Exactly. So I mean, exactly.
I threatened to bury a couple of people in the hole prior to filling it, but it didn't work out.
Didn't work out.
I know they frown upon that.
Yeah, that's something that's not really very
no, I'm only kidding. Don't call the cops.
Oh, that's funny. I know, right? Hey, Rick and telling something to Tony on the left. That's not good.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Too funny. So I see you got another new shirt on there, pal. You know, you're really showing me up here.
I know this guy, you know.
I know a guy who knows a guy.
I know a guy who knows
Look at
a
that. Guy. That's a beautiful thing.
Our new logo.
That's awesome.
Round 14 logo, correct?
That looks awesome. Gina was telling me today, we were talking about, she was watching our last episode.
Okay.
And I walked in and she was watching it. And it was on the part where we were talking about going to Philly for the Rocky run for the 50th anniversary.
Oh, so she's the one who watches it.
Yeah. She watches it over and over and over. Just start it over. Just keep going. That's what, hundreds of views. She's a good wife. But she was saying about it when we go to the Rocky run, she's like, you know, you should print up a bunch of your merchandise. We could sell it up there.
Yeah, why not?
That was a wonderful idea.
Why not?
I mean, why not is right. Set up a little tent next to John's. Who knows?
Yeah.
So just food for thought. I have on the Rocky III Paulie t-shirt.
Love it.
You know that I'll be selling Rocky robes here.
I love that shirt.
Speaking of Mr. Paulie there, happy birthday to Mr. Burt Young.
Absolutely. Who,
that this film saga would not have been the same if he didn't play Paulie.
No, he's just an amazing, amazing man. I mean, an amazing actor. I mean, I remember seeing him in, what the heck was the movie with Rodney Dangerfield?
Easy Money.
Was it Easy Money? Or no, Back to School. So. Wasn't it Back to School?
You're right. It was Back to School. He was like the limo driver or something.
He was like his bodyguard. And he was like, you know.
You know, that's the funny thing. He's done so many other films. Like, remember the, he played a couple of the mob comedy films where he was the mob guy.
Yeah.
And, but he's such a great actor and a great painter. And from what I hear, just a great person, overall great person. I mean, that's just,
I've never had the pleasure, but that's how it comes across, you know? I mean, it's hard to fake that stuff. You know, sometimes you can just read through people.
Mm-hmm.
He just comes along as just genuine. You know, love it. Yeah. Love him. You're absolutely correct. Nail on the head. The movie would not have been the same without Paulie.
No. God, not even close. He was so intricate in so many parts and so many scenes. So, you know, so much of the films.
Right.
You know, he wasn't like a Gazzo where he played an intricate part, but he really, no disrespect to Tony Spinell, but anybody could have played the Gazzo role.
Right.
You know, and I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that he did a bad job by any means, but the part of Burt Young played Paulie was so important to the movie.
Sure.
He had to have the, you know, it was Rocky was the loving, the understanding, the humble.
Yep.
Even though he was a little, you know, doofy in his ways or dumbed down or however you want to put it, not as educated.
Right.
But then you had the other half where, you know, Rocky never lost his temper, but, you know, Paulie's losing his temper every 5 seconds. He's treating, you know, like he says in Balboa, you know, you treated her good, I treated her bad. I don't want to remember the past.
Yeah.
It's horrible for somebody to say, but he said it with such conviction and you believed it because you saw it. He didn't treat Adrian nice.
No, he did not. He did not.
Yeah.
Oh, except for that one time. What was it? And I can't remember. He's like, "Oh, Mrs. Stallion, you almost look pretty good."
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Before they went to the statue.
Yeah, Rocky III. Yeah.
Well, I remember too in the end of the first one, where he lifts the rope up so Adrian can go under to get to Rocky. He's talking to the cop, and he kind of just, "Go ahead, Adrian. I'll distract him."
Yeah.
He did have a heart. He did care.
Yeah.
But he had a very difficult way of showing it. And that is why I would love the idea of the prequel to see where and why and how Paulie became that way. What happened in his life that he became so angry and felt he took care of Adrian? And
right. You know. Yeah, he's pretty cynical, where Rocky's the optimist.
Yep.
You know, and and they play so well off of each other. And, it would be very interesting. Sly make the prequel.
Yeah. Oh, unfortunately, I'm sure he would. I'm sure he would. You know the whole thing about that. So that's the crazy part. But
I know.
You know,
well, if you're watching, if you're watching, and you should be, because there's nothing else on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock.
There's nothing else on.
There's nothing. Come on. You know, make the prequel. Just
like
saying.
You said, I love the idea of the prequel being a Netflix series, maybe 2 to 3 seasons or however many they want. But I think you need to do that. If you're starting back in, you figure if he's going to go as far back to be where they're 16 or in high school, even their seniors, 17.
Right.
They were what, 29 in the original film? He said he's almost 30. Remember, she's almost 30, you know, almost 32. So 29. So that's, you know, 12 years, 11 years that they have to cover that gap.
Right.
So they couldn't do it in one season. They would have to do it in at least 3 or 4.
I'd love, we would love that.
All every Rockhead out there.
Oh my God.
They all would. Yeah.
We'd pay the same
attention. You get to see why was Adrian so shy?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why, whenever he meets Mickey, was Mickey always like that? Was he always gruff and you know, like that? Or did he become that way? How did he become that way? Figured he went back 11, 12 years.
Probably getting hit in the face with a glove with a nail in the thumb.
Yeah.
That would do it.
Yeah, exactly.
That'd piss a person off.
It would be just amazing. It really would be.
Yeah.
But we'll see. We'll keep our fingers crossed. You never know.
Yeah, that and the Rocky Seven, which is, you know, we've heard grumblings or rumors about.
Right.
I mean, come on. Yeah, you know, we would love to see it. Anything Rocky, you know, would love to see it. And we've discussed that. I'm not going to go into it again. But, you know, the whole premise of that movie with backwards and forwards and, you know, oh, I would kill. Kidneys yeah. for sale. Right here.
Yeah. Get on the black market. Hey, anybody need an organ?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Well, last week we put up a little request for people out there to submit their round 14. Now, we know what round 14 stands for in the name of the podcast. We know what round 14 means in the Rocky world. Others may not know what the round 14 means outside of the Rocky world. But it doesn't matter if it's called round 14 or not. Everybody has a moment in their life where they're going to, you know, fight or flight, get up or stay down, move forward or stand still.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had a few people send theirs in that we could discuss and hopefully we will get more in. And it was kind of a little short notice. We did it just a few days ago. Only got a couple in. We can cover those now. And if we get more in as we go, we could do it on another episode.
Absolutely. We'd love to.
Yeah, yeah, but it's, you know, everybody has one. I mean, they really, and everybody has several because, I mean, your life is kind of broken up into segments where you're, you know, in your teens and 20s, where you really have to start facing life's adversities, you know, maybe your 30s and 40s.
Right.
And then, of course, later on in your 50s and 60s or later. So it really depends on what you had going on in your life that you're, how many you had.
Sure.
You know, and most of the time, they're revolving around things either health related or relationship related that people have to get through, which is understandable. Those are the biggest things in your life.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, pushing to get a job is, it could be around 14. You know, look at Sly. Round 14 was in that office when they said, we'll give you $250,000 for Rocky, but you're out. That was his round 14 right there.
Right.
Him saying, no, I'm not going to do that. Yeah. So it could be something career related, but usually it's a health related or a relationship related issue.
I agree 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, you could have several. I mean, I had one when I was younger. I had wanted to move to California. So I thought. I was thinking it's across the country. How am I going to do this? Why should I do this? I wanted to try to get into screenwriting and into films and into the production of films. I didn't want to be an actor. I didn't want to be a director. I was young. And I said, you know what? Let's go. So pack up and go. And I actually did it. But, you know, it didn't work out there. But to go and do it and actually – instead of saying, oh, I wonder if it would have worked out if I went out there.
Right.
It's a whole different story. But, and then later on in life, I had a little health scare where it kind of woke me up.
Okay.
It was my round 14. It was actually in 06.
I remember this because we just started talking at this point.
Yeah.
About, it was later than that, but I do remember you telling me about
it. Yeah, I got diagnosed with a heart condition in 06, cardiomyopathy, and my youngest daughter was just born, and Balboa was just released. And I literally remember sitting in the parking lot the day that they told me about it, like, I have a daughter coming, and I'm 40. Like, how can I have a heart condition? I'm going to die? Like, what is this nonsense?
Right.
You got to get mad about it. Like, what the hell is this?
Yeah,
but again, the round 14 moment where you're like, okay, well, the doctor said if I get my fat butt in shape and I eat better, and I could actually make a difference in the diagnosis of this.
Sure.
And that's what it did. And lost weight, got in shape, feel great. Still, even though I'm not in the shape I was in back then, I still feel good. I'm still here. My heart's still doing well. That's awesome. But again, that's that fight or flight moment where I could have just felt sorry for myself and said, this sucks, and went about my day. And who knows what would have happened if I didn't change anything.
True. I mean, you got to be accountable to yourself, you know.
Yeah.
You're your own number one. So absolutely. Mm-hmm. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
No doubt. No one's going to do it for you, you know.
No, that's the thing. That's when you – right. And that's just like Rocky laying on the canvas in round 14. Mickey's telling him to stay down.
Yeah.
That right. Nobody's going to help you up.
Mike was yelling, get up. You know, come on, get up.
Yeah.
And everybody else was yelling. But, you know, Mick was like, stay down. And Rocky just, you know, he pulled himself up, you know.
Absolutely. Mickey, in that moment, Mickey became the father figure.
Yeah,
he didn't want him to get up and get. He would have got. You know what happened by Apollo. He just knew that if you get back up, this is not going to be good.
Right.
Apollo's going to do some more damage to you.
I completely. And, agree.
But it's such a great scene because he does get up. What's that?
Yeah. He didn't want to see him get hurt anymore. You know,
you said,
at that point, is more of his fatherly figure took over than his manager.
Right.
You know, he's like, kid, stay down. You've proved your point.
Right.
No.
And one of the best scenes in that few 30 seconds of film is Apollo's face when he turns around, his hands were up.
Yeah.
He sees Rocky standing up, you know, with his gloves.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? What is with this guy?
He's like, what?
Come on, man. Stay down.
That is an amazing scene.
Yeah.
And Carl Weathers nailed the look. You know, without saying a word, just the.
And say one word. He just kind of looked at it, shook his head like, what do I have to do to put this man down and keep him
down? Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Do you have anything on your own round 14 yourself?
I do. I have a couple. I'll just touch on to one real quick. It's something I don't talk about a lot. So it's not that it's. I don't know. So let me just preface this by saying that things have cleared. But long time ago, I was in my early 30s. I went through a very bad divorce and a custody battle. And my round 14 moment came almost as I was thinking about it today, and actually Deb brought this to my attention, it was almost like a Balboa-esque moment when he was before the boxing commission. I had never thought of it that way. Okay.
Okay.
When he's saying, I had to memorize and now I'm kind of flustered about this, but who has the right to tell you what to do? You know, that speech?
Yeah, yeah.
So
I paid a freight out of you to tell me what to do, and, you know,
yeah,
I did what you wanted me to do. And
right.
Yeah.
So this one particular moment, we're in court, and the judge, this was a daycare issue, and the judge ruled not in my favor.
Okay.
For whatever reason. So hits the gavel, dismissed, everyone's walking out. Kind of like Rocky in the boxing commission.
Yeah.
I turn around as I'm walking out and I said, in front of everybody and court's going on, I'm like, I need a moment of your time. And he just kind of looks at me, he's like, okay. And I'll just kind of preface this because I was not vulgar by no means, though I can be, especially when it comes to my son, you know.
Sure, of course.
And I said, look, I said, whatever decision you just made, you made on what you saw on a piece of paper. You don't know me. You don't know the circumstances. You don't know what I've been going through. Okay. I said, basically, what you did was you ruled on the fact that I have to drive a half an hour to go get my son from a daycare, drive a half an hour back to bring him home, and that leaves me 1 hour to see him. How is that fair? Not when there's daycares that are 5 minutes down the road from where I work and where I live that are just as good, if not better, and the same amount of money. I said, so I'm just going to calm down a little bit because it still brings it up sometimes.
Sure.
I remember seeing...
You want to stop at any time, please. You know, don't feel like you have to continue.
I'm almost
done.
It's
emotional. I get it. I appreciate you sharing it.
It's so he's just kind of looking at me, and I said, he's like, so, you know, what or whatever. And like I said, a lot of this I've tried to forget, but I remember saying, and excuse me, but I'm just going to tell you what I said. I said, I'm not a sperm donor. I'm not a Disneyland dad. I did not have a child to be in his life one day a week and every other weekend. I am this boy's father. I plan to see him, my son, every single day of the week. I plan on coaching his little league. I plan on coaching his basketball. I plan on coaching his baseball. I plan on everything. I am going to be there every step of the way. I said, you need to think about that, because when you have other people coming in here and they're not in the same position I am and you just rule across the board, that's not fair. You can't look at everybody the same.
Right.
So thank you for your time. And I walked out. So as I walked out, my lawyer says, and I don't mean any disrespect to anybody involved, all parties, you know,
sure,
not my son and my son's mom and I are good friends now. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We co-parented and it worked out beautifully. Okay.
Right.
Let me just say that. So I walked out of the courtroom and my my lawyer says, what did you do? I said, I did what I had to do. I said, you weren't saying nothing. The law guardian wasn't saying nothing. I had to speak up for myself. No one's talking for me. So I had to do the talking for myself. I said what was on my mind. I was very respectful about it. And that's it. So now I'm going to go home. Let the pieces fall where they may.
Right.
I got home. Tony, I wasn't in the house 5 minutes. My phone's ringing. It's my lawyer. She goes, Rick, I don't know what you said to the judge because I wasn't on there, but he wants us in his chambers first thing in the morning. I said, really? She goes, this is unheard of. This is not typical.
Right.
I said, okay, well, I'll be there.
Sure.
I went in. And he reversed his decision. And
that's
he said, you know what? It made complete sense. Why should I, if I have an allotted amount of time to see my son every day, which I fought tooth and nail for, because they just wanted to give me the customary, you know, two days a week, every other weekend. And I'm like, no, I told the law guy, like, go shit in your head, you know, sorry.
But, the show's not for kids. We're good.
Yeah, that's true. So, and a lot worse. But, I said, it just makes sense. It just makes sense. So he went in, he reversed his decision.
That's amazing.
And that was my round 14 moment, you know?
See, and it was, because like you said, if you would have walked out again, like Rocky lays down and takes the 10 count on the canvas.
Yes.
There never would have been a rematch.
Right.
His life would have been altered. You walk out of that courtroom and don't say a word.
Right.
Just kind of, all right, that's what he said. You would have saw your son one day a week.
Yeah.
And who knows how that would have changed your life and more so his life.
Absolutely. And Ben and I we're just so close. We're so tight, you know, my son. And, you know, obviously our kids are always our world.
Yeah.
But I meant every word about it. You know, it wasn't like I was going to be a part of it. I was going to be there for everything. Just because him and, you know, his mom and I weren't together, I wasn't going to miss what I didn't want to miss anything that I didn't, under my power or control, miss.
Sure.
You know?
No.
So,
but see, that's the great part about it. That takes courage, takes will. I mean, that defines round 14.
Yeah, I was expecting to like be thrown in jail.
Walk in the balance, just there with us. Yeah. Where are you?
Yeah, right.
That's awesome. You know, that's awesome.
But yeah, I mean, to this day, I'm still very proud of that moment, although I don't think of it. You know, I just try to put that whole past behind me and keep moving forward.
Well, especially now, it's like you said, you're on – things have changed. It's a lot of years later, you and his mom, and everything's worked out for the better. So it's you know, it's a speed bump. You're at a leave back there. But if, like you said, it didn't happen, so much would have changed. So much.
Absolutely. It could have been completely different, you know. Yeah. And I'm
well, again, every single time somebody thinks about that and that moment in their life, you know, I don't change my ways, I could have a heart attack at 45. You don't say a word, your son may not even consider you his father and go a whole different route.
Right. And there's a lot of,
I mean, you just don't know.
There's just too much of that out there. And I'm like, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to, I didn't bring a child into this world to be a paycheck. You know, I'm going to be in his life 100%.
Well, that's a great story. And glad it was a great story. And again, it worked out like it should have, because if it, you know, you got up and you did what you're supposed to do and it worked out for the better for everybody.
Yeah.
We had the other couple of we have three other submissions, I guess you could say.
Awesome. Let's hear them.
Yeah, we kind of know these people a little bit, though.
So yeah, we do.
It's kind of unfair. But regardless, Mrs. Stallion sent hers in. A young lady there with those
beautiful wife, Carl. Beautiful. Beautiful family.
Thank you. But I'm going to read what she wrote. It's her words. My round 14 moment was in 2010 when doctors could not figure out what was going on and why my organs were failing. The only suggestion they had for me was to take a drug so toxic that I would need to have my blood drawn every week, because it was a matter of if – it wasn't a matter of if. It was a matter of when I would develop cancer from the drug. Because of my weakened immune system, they told me I would basically have no ability to fight the cancer once I did get it and basically die. I chose to say no to all this, and I started working out and eating organically. And although I felt horrible, little by little, I started feeling better and my body started healing. I decided my children were still so young, I was not prepared or willing to leave them. So I chose to get up and fight for myself. And now, 13 years later, without the help of any pharmaceutical drugs, she is much better. Still has her immune deficiency problems, but she doesn't have to take a drug that would give her cancer. She chose to do that. I mean, I remember when we had that discussion when we came out of the doctor's office, and you know, you're thinking, well, you gotta take the medicine; it's gonna help you. But then to hear the medicine is going to give you cancer. What? The medicine's going to give me cancer, or I can go the route where I don't take the medicine, and this thing that's already shutting my organs down and stuff, maybe I could fix it, maybe I don't. Either way, this one way is going to give me a better shot at survival, at changing my life. And she did. And she's sometimes a little crazy about her organic food, but I love her. Yep. You know, sometimes I'm like, just eat the damn Dorito. It's okay.
Oh my God. Tony, our paths are like this. I tell you, we are definitely brothers from another mother, because
it's so funny. I'm so proud of her. Because let's face facts. Absolutely. If it would have happened back then, I would have raised my girls by myself. Not that I couldn't have, but it wouldn't have been very fair to them. Growing up without their mom, and you know, Gina and I didn't, just like you said, Gina and I didn't decide to have kids, so you can only be a part of their lives partially.
Right.
You know, you want to see them through.
Yeah.
And she works real hard at it. You know, still has some good days and bad days, but you know, the good outweigh the bad. And because that's of amazing. What she's done. And she made that choice.
That's amazing. Good for her. That's an incredible, incredible story.
I can't even believe that. I can't believe the doctor would give that option. Like, this drug is going to give you cancer. You know, was there other drugs that could have helped her? I don't know. You know, she kind of lost faith in doctors by that point and, you know, decided to do a lot of research on her own, and exercise and eating clean as you can is really, it's huge. We watched a documentary years after this happened to her. We watched a documentary called The C Word, on Netflix.
Okay.
And it's about a man that had a diagnosis of cancer, terminal cancer. And he was supposed to, he was given a life expectancy of, I don't recall, a year and a half, year, whatever it was. It was very short term.
Okay.
And he did the same thing that Gina did. Exercised, ate as clean as possible, drank a ton of water. He prolonged his life 22 years.
Amazing.
He did eventually die of the cancer, but 22 years he bought.
Wow.
By doing that and not taking medications.
That's incredible.
So, yeah, Gina's not a big fan of the medicines, the pharmaceutical companies.
You know this as well as I do, and everybody watching this is this is something that everybody knows. Every other commercial on TV
ridiculous.
Is just about this medicine or them. It's to the point where you're just like, oh, my God, you know, please stop. I'm tired of being just berated by these pharmaceutical companies just trying to push this stuff, you know. It gets a little old after a while. I give her a ton of credit.
That shouldn't even be a side effect. I don't even understand how that could be one.
I know. It's either going to make you better or it's not going to do it. Yeah, I don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand side effects. You know, you're itchy or it makes you sleepy. You know, don't operate machinery. But when the side effects start becoming like brain damage, death, blindness, like, I mean, what are you doing? But right. That could be a whole other episode. Maybe we should have our wives do another episode about pharmaceutical companies.
Oh, my God. You would need to block out like about 10 hours because I'm Deb's right there with Gina.
I tell Gina that now, she'll go buy a soapbox right now and get over here.
And I know, Deb, but those guys would just take right over.
Oh, my goodness.
We'd be kicked to the curb, Tony.
I'm telling you. But again, most of the time it is unfortunately due to health related problems or something along those lines. Our good friend, Mr. Brian, has sent in, and look at Brian with his beautiful family. And it's got a little bit of a, who's that slugger up there that he's with in the corner? That guy looks familiar.
He does look a little familiar. Yes. He's posing over there in my corner.
Yeah.
I borrowed him.
So Brian had the courage to submit this story because, let's face facts, man, these are not things that you want to share these in public with generally people you don't know. It takes a lot of courage and it takes a lot of guts, and it may be cathartic in some way by doing it. So I thank Brian very much for submitting this story.
Absolutely.
His story is after losing our first baby girl 4 months into the pregnancy, I didn't want to do anything. But I knew I had to get up for my wife and myself. Quitting is never an option. You have one life and better make it count. So years later, we have a beautiful 10-year-old girl and treat life one round at a time. So
beautiful.
Brian obviously went and he, like he said, that losing the girl, the baby, it could have caused a divorce. It could have caused him to spiral downward into who knows what, drugs, alcohol, suicide. Right. I mean, there's so much, you hate to say those things, but those are facts sometimes of people that are hit hard with that type of life issue.
Right.
But instead he got up off the canvas and said, you know what? I'm going to move forward. I'm going to help my wife move forward and we're going to have our family. And they do. And like you saw here, the beautiful young lady that he's holding 10 years old. And I mean,
beautiful
brings tears to your eyes.
It does. Really does. Boy, I'll tell you, you know, Brian, good for you, you know, just to be able to get back up and just continue on when it just feels like the whole world is caving on around you, you know, good for you and good for your wife. I mean, I can't relate to something like that happening.
Sure.
But I can imagine it, you know, to lose a child. Devastating.
And that's the kind of stuff that I think about too with everybody always has their story of how they did this, they did that because of Rocky movies and because of they saw Rocky IV, they saw Rocky II, they saw whatever it may be.
You're right.
Of course Sly knows this stuff, but how amazing is that to know a character I wrote and created helped a man get past this issue in his life to make a better life. This woman had the courage to get up and make a stand for herself and made her life better.
Right.
That's just, I mean, that's like ungodly to just think that a man's words for creating a character in a film had that effect on people.
He has got to be, we've talked about this before, but yeah. It definitely bears repeating. He has got to be so humbled by the fact that he has touched billions of people with his written word, his screenplays, his acting, the whole nine yards. He's got to be, can you sit back and think about, you know, maybe you've affected in your life or in my life, you know, I know I have a few through coaching baseball or coaching football.
Sure.
Well, who weren't children of my own, but, you know, they were like, you know, Coach Babcock, you know, oh my God. And they send me presents or whatever, you know, even years later. And they still call me coach to this day. But that's like 5, 6. We're talking billions of people who look to you as an inspiration. And this man is just, he is so humble, you know?
Yeah. I know. It's amazing. I mean, I have family members of mine that know what a rocky freak I am. You know, they've had their health issues and breast cancer. My own sister had breast cancer, had her breast removed, double mastectomy. You know, my mom, the same thing. And it's like they went on and with the first time I saw them, I remember we FaceTime and they give me the fist, you know, and they, it's like, they know that's strong.
Yes.
It's remarkable. It really is. It's remarkable.
It truly is. To try to actually put it into words is so difficult. Other than just, I couldn't imagine being sly if you just sat down for 5 minutes and just thought about all the people's lives you have touched.
Yeah.
It's unfathomable.
And again, now going way back to the original round 14 moment, Sly takes that $250,000. And hands over the script, like probably 99.9%
without a doubt
in the world would have done.
Yeah, because what, he had $20 in the bank account?
Yeah, I don't want all these people. Oh no, I would have stood my ground. You're full of crap.
Right.
Probably wouldn't have. There's one person out of a million that would have done that, and he did it.
Right.
He didn't do it and said, okay, give me the check. It's almost like an It's a Wonderful Life situation. Would somebody have not made it and not went past their situation in their life, or would they have given up and died? Would they have committed suicide? Would they have gone? Mm-hmm. Who knows what? It's just, it's remarkable.
Yeah,
it's remarkable.
It is. It's totally inspiring.
There's another beautiful young lady that has a story. We'll put up here.
Oh, I know her.
You recognize her?
I know her. I'm going to have to put my.
I don't know how this guy got a woman that pretty, but he did it. Must be that charm.
I smooth talked her. I told her I had a lot of money.
I'm just teasing. No, she's a good woman there. I read her story, and I'll let you go ahead and have the honors, please.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so this was from my wife, definitely. And this was prior to us being married. Mm-hmm. This is both our second marriage. We've been together now for almost 25, 26 years, married 20. So this was before she came to her senses and came over to the good side.
realize what a good thing you are.
Yeah. I just had to slip that in there. So anyway, I'm only kidding. If you watch long enough, you find that my sense of humor is
Yeah, if you don't have a morbid sense of humor, don't watch the show, guys. If you're one of
those sensitive
snowflakes, go ahead and watch something else.
Right. So here's what Dub had to say. Okay. I hope I can do this justice. My round 14 moment, although I have definitely had my share of them and could fill your entire podcast, LOL, I will share only two at this time. My first round 14 moment is when I experienced a miscarriage, which was heartbreaking and completely devastating, physically, mentally, and emotionally. And I didn't know how I could move forward with life. But fortunately, I realized I must keep pushing forward and moving forward as Rocky did and continuing to fight. which resulted in carrying another child in 3 short months and the birth of my beautiful daughter just 9 months later. That is my stepdaughter, who I call my daughter, Ashley.
Nice.
Nothing will ever be more precious to me, and I will always be thankful for the courage instilled by Sly / Rocky to help me persevere. My second round 14 moment was at just 10 months after my daughter was born. Her father had an affair and left us. A man that I had been married to for 10 years and together for 15, someone I thought I knew pretty well, but again found myself struck down with no strength to fight, barely ate, slept, and was a mess. But somehow, as I literally laid on the floor, feeling defeated and sobbing, my tiny daughter, who was less than 1 year old at the time, I do know this for a fact, my tiny daughter crawled her way to me and started feeding her Cheerios. At that moment, it was exactly what I needed to push me to my feet once again, as I realized I needed to fight and live for my daughter. It was as if I could hear at that point Mick say, "Get up, you son of a bitch." Because Mickey loves you. I will forever be grateful to Sly and the gift of his words and all the Rocky films. To this day, I continue to fight my way through every day, always punching. Thank you, Sly. God bless you.
That's an amazing story. Amazing story. Thank you, Deb, for sharing that. I know it's probably extremely hard to write it down, and it's probably hard for you to read it. You know, it's an emotional roller coaster.
Yeah,
I was getting emotional, and it wasn't, you know, I wasn't a part of it.
Yeah, I came into the picture. We both went through, you know, different divorces, obviously. And I came into the picture. We met each other approximately a year after that. So okay. Ashley was 1 and Ben was 2. And so we've known, you know, the kids have been in our lives basically from almost childbirth, you know.
Sure.
But yes, it was, you know, when we were talking about this earlier, she was crying.
I bet.
The pain on her face, it was very visible.
I bet.
And one thing that she did not mention, and I'm going to mention because I just feel it has weight and bearing in doing so, is that every day, like Georgina, my wife fights with her health. Mm-hmm. I've told you that we're constantly running to doctor's appointments.
Yeah.
We're trying to figure this out. Nobody will give us a straight answer. You know, no one knows. And the details are immaterial at this point. Mm-hmm. But it's a struggle for her on a day-to-day basis. And I want her to know, because sometimes she just gets down in the dumps and she just doesn't feel good, you know. And I want her to know that I'm very proud of her. And I tell her.
Yeah, I bet.
I want this on television. You know, I'm very proud of her in that, you know, I see her struggle, but I see her try to find her way through the day, even when she's walking around like this because she can't get her balance. Mm-hmm. You know, she's reaching for countertops. You know, it does not go unnoticed, and it's definitely admirable, and I appreciate everything that she does for me and our family.
Yeah, no, I bet. I mean, it's a strong woman right there. And again, with my wife as well. Like, I know how hard she sometimes gets through the day and barely gets through the day. And absolutely. You have to, you know, it's amazing on the strength that they have, or anybody has, Brian, whoever it may be that had to go through this kind of stuff. It's amazing the strength you have to get through it, where you don't really realize that you have it. It's almost like the beach scene in Rocky III.
Right.
Rocky's ready to give up. He's like, I'm done. I'm done. You know, but he had Adrian tell him, what do you know? No, you're not. She had you by her side to get her through these tough times and hopefully find an answer one day.
Right. And what's the alternative, you know, just to lay down, you know, like some kind of a mongrel?
Exactly.
You know,
no, you're You're exactly right.
Yeah.
Who, I mean, who does that? Who, I mean, people do. I shouldn't say who does that because plenty of people do.
Sure.
Plenty of people. But yeah, the people that are the heart of Rocky, so to speak, don't. They look for the reason to move forward. They look for the, you know, it's just, it's not in, in the DNA of that type of person.
Right. Absolutely.
And that's the thing about all the Rockhead Nation that people don't really realize is that you could be a, there's a fan base for Star Wars and, you know, all these other outlets of films, but there's not a fan base that can dictate your life, can help your life, can put you in the trajectory where you need to, not where you don't need to. It's just, it's remarkable. It really is remarkable. I mean,
very, very well said.
Deb, so I'm assuming, and I don't know this, that's why I'm going to ask you. I'm assuming Deb was a Rocky fan as hardcore as before she met you. It sounds like by that story.
No.
Oh, okay.
It was not. But she definitely puts the correlations because now she's just like, you know, we just got through watching the whole series again. And, you know, she's like, I am so paying attention. You know,
she's because what she was saying as Rocky, she was giving such props to him. I assume that she was before she met you. Well, that's okay. Gina's not either. Gina, she's a fan. She liked the movies.
Yeah.
You know, she saw them just like everybody else. But she wasn't, she didn't realize what hardcore freakhead she was getting involved in.
Right. But then when after you watch these movies and then you can, you know, you put the correlation between what's going on screen and then what's going on in your life. And you can definitely meld these two together. And you're like, oh my God, you know,
yeah.
How does it not draw you in? How does it not like the Grinch make your heart from here to here?
Yep.
You know, the Rocky Nation, the Rockheads of this world are some of the best human beings I've ever met. But just have talked to.
Agreed. Because like we've discussed this before when how you and I met, and I have my Rockhead friends, I'm sorry, that I have met, you know, years ago. You know, you or you know, Stacy or John or any of these guys, Brian, any of these guys.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I when I was younger, up until my mid-20s, I was as hardcore as I am now. And I kind of lost the way of following Rocky as I did right after Rocky V. Like, so I'd say maybe 92-ish, give or take.
Okay.
You know, for a good almost 10 years.
Yeah.
And then when Balboa came out, of course I wanted to see it, but I really didn't realize the impact. And you know, you just pick back up into it. Anyway, so I'm drifting off. The reason why I was even bringing all that up is that When I did meet you guys, like you say, meet, you know, through messaging or through posts, it's almost like when people go to a classroom or a therapy session or something where they realize they're not the only ones anymore.
Sure.
And when you get together with some other people that get it, you don't need to explain it. You don't need to say, you know, Rocky's not a boxing movie. Like, you don't need to say any of this stuff. They just know. And you're like, wow, there's so many people out there that went through a different scenario, but same as me.
Right.
And understand it and get it. And they're the only ones that will. You can run into people at backyard barbecues, at cocktail parties. I do it all the time. And I'm not a social butterfly. I know it seems like it because I talk like this, you know, but when I start chatting with people and, you know, they pinpoint the points of Rocky that are not there. Oh, I love that. That's one of my favorite sports movies. You know, automatically right now I want to walk away. I want to go get some more dirt somewhere. I don't want to talk to you anymore.
The messages, and you look through every single movie of the Rocky franchise, of the Rocky universe, they've all got positive messages.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's so hard to find that, you know, and especially in all those episode, you know, all the movies. It's just,
yep.
There's positive, even in the worst of situations, there's still positivity. There's positive messages, things you can take out.
Well, it goes through the typical, the writing. I mean, I took screenwriting in college, and it goes through the typical thumb. You know, they have the man's going against his own issue, man versus man. I mean, yep. And he gets to that point where he's as low as he could get. And then rises up again. And again, we've discussed this a billion times. Rocky in the original did not win. A lot of people don't realize that. But he did win. And people that don't get that will never get Rocky.
Right.
Never.
You know what? I'm just going to deviate just for a second. I just thought of something we can talk about some other episode. All the other TV shows, Family Guy, Friends, whatever, that have had Rocky moments.
Oh, God, yeah.
What I'm saying?
Actually, that's a good episode. We're going to work on that one.
You know, where they even the Simpsons have done a tribute to Rocky. Or I remember
there was a show when my daughter was a little girl called something Bears. I forget. It was a cartoon.
Not the Berenstain?
Was it the No. It wasn't Berenstain Bears. It was three bears, and there was like, It was a kid's show. It was on like Nickelodeon or something or whatever okay. It was. She was little. She was like 5, 6. Even on that show, they had one of the bears come out with boxing gloves and the Stars and Stripes trunks, and he did the whole.
Yes. There are so
that's a great many. Idea. That is a great idea. We're going to work on that. That may not be the next episode, but it will be a future episode. I like that.
Yeah, I remember. I can't think of the name of it. It's a TV show that was kind of set in like the 70s or 80s. And I kind of watch it every now and again. But they did a whole tribute to Rocky and the whole thing. And I'm like, that would be awesome. You know, so many different shows that have just.
Well, we'll go over that. We'll go over it together. We'll work on it. That will be a future episode upcoming.
Yes.
But this one here, I know was a little more emotional, a little more, I don't want to say down, because everybody did wind up coming up. But let's face it, nobody wants to talk about heartbreak and health issues and things of that nature. But sometimes you got to talk about those to realize – talk about the lows to realize the highs. And thankfully, all of the stories have a high ending. But I appreciate everybody sharing those stories. It's not easy to do. It's very emotional. It's very heartbreaking sometimes to rehash something that was so hard in your life. Right. But because of that, you're as strong as you are, and you move forward, and you have a better life because of it. So, Brian, Deb, and Gina, and Rick, yourself,
and you, Tony,
thank you all for sharing those.
Thank you. It's amazing. We've all come out on the other side, right? Come out on the other side.
Exactly. So. We've all gotten past it, moved forward, and you know, because of that, and it's amazing. It really is amazing.
It is
unbelievable. This one ran a little long, almost an hour. I wonder if anybody's still with us. You awake? Hello. Hello. Wake up.
Oh, it looks like we can unmute them.
Right?
I liked doing this, although, you know, it's definitely different than what we've done before.
Yeah.
But you know what? Folks, if you're watching, please feel free. Write us. Write Tony. Write me. You know,
I say it all the time. You know, let us know what you like, what you don't like. I mean, we're open for criticism. We're open for constructive criticism.
Yeah.
We're open for ideas. Right. You know, we do. Look, until Rick and I start getting a large paycheck for this.
Yeah.
You know, we're just having a good time. We're just doing this for fun. Hopefully you guys are enjoying what you're seeing.
Right.
We come up with the ideas. If you don't like it, and you continually don't like it, then maybe we're not the podcast for you. You know, it is what it is. But
I think if we start making some money, I could use a makeup person to get the shine off my forehead.
Yeah. Well, I could use a lot more. I could make up hair, wardrobe, the whole. Well, maybe not wardrobe. I'm good with this. This is good.
I do like, our wardrobe, stellar. Everything else, let's work on, you know. Give me some dreads.
Well, this was good. This was good. Like I said, everybody, thank you so much. We will see everyone next week. And hopefully we'll have a little more of a, I hate to say positive because this wasn't a negative episode, but let's face it, it is a little bit of a downer sometimes when you're talking negative things. You're like, it brings people down. But like Rick said, we all showed up on the other side. We all rose above the occasion and were better people and better. Our lives became better because of it. Absolutely. So if there's any more stories, we'd love to hear them and we could attach them to a future episode.
Would love to hear them. Yes.
Yeah. All good. All right, buddy. Well, I will see you next week.
You got hopefully. It. Same bad time.
Not abandoning
same
me, are you? All right, my brother. I'll see you next week. Thanks again.
You got it, buddy. See you.
All right. We'll see you.